Welcome to the Danny Picard Show, Friday, April 12th, 2019, broadcasting from the Beantown, USA studio. Beantown, USA is Boston's home for customized screen printing and embroidery. Get more information on their website, beantownusa.com. On today's show, I will give you my NBA playoff predictions as the brackets are now set. The NBA playoffs begin this weekend. I also have some thoughts on Magic Johnson randomly stepping down as Lakers president of basketball operations. We'll get into that. I also will get into the Stanley Cup playoffs as the Boston Bruins lose game one of their first round series to the Toronto Maple Leafs, a 4-1 game at the TD Garden last night on Thursday night. I actually waited to record this podcast until Friday of this week so that I could react to that game one last night on Thursday night, and I will do that to open the show. Also, we have some Patriots news. The New England Patriots made a couple signings this week. I'll react to those. And where would the Red Sox be without Mitch Moreland? Where would they be right now this season without Mitch Moreland? I have some thoughts on the Red Sox after a much-needed walk-off win last night on Thursday night. Obviously, we were not happy in this town with the Bruins losing to Toronto, but right after that game ended, you changed the channel, you're watching the end of the Red Sox game. That didn't look good either, but then Mitch Moreland saved the day to tie the game, and then Rafael Devers with a walk-off single, and the Red Sox picked up their fourth win of the season. I'll react to that. And should we still be concerned, even though that was a big win, should we still be concerned about the Red Sox right now? Like, what's your concern level? What's my concern level? I'll tell you what my concern level is with this team on this show today. All of it presented by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the perfect place to make your bets on everything in the world of sports. And there's a lot to bet on right now. You got playoff hockey, you got playoff basketball, you got regular season baseball, and the Masters is underway at Augusta National. Sign up today at betonline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and also the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. BetOnline.ag. Today's show is also presented by DraftKings. Play for free at DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings app by using promo code PICK, P-I-C. That's promo code PICK, P-I-C. And with the Masters underway, take part in the single round showdown for Sunday's final round at Augusta. Pick six golfers while staying under the salary cap and do it before 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. $400,000 in total prizes, $100,000 going to first place, and get a free game with your first deposit by signing up using promo code PICK, P-I-C, at DraftKings.com. Welcome to the show on this Friday, April 12th. I told you there that the normal schedule of this show is Mondays and Thursdays, as you know, if you're a loyal listener to the Danny Picard Show. If you're not, well, I'm telling you right now, the normal schedule is Mondays, Thursdays. I waited until today on Friday because I wanted to react to this game one of the Bruins. You see, during the playoffs, especially where we have the Bruins and the Celtics in the playoffs, it's tough for an on-demand show to stay timely with these teams. I'm going to try to do the best job as possible. This is not my first rodeo trying to do that. This is not the first time I'm trying to do that. But sometimes it can be tough. It can be tough with an on-demand product during, playoffs in which you have two teams involved. But we'll do the best we can. And so I waited until after game one, in which the Bruins lose to the Maple Leafs, and I'm going to open with that. But there's so much going on. We have now entered the busiest time of the year in the sports world, right? You got the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs, regular season baseball in full swing. You got the Masters is underway. Tiger Woods shot 2-under on day one. He is 4 shots off the lead. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, the co-leaders after the first round, at 6-under. I mean, by the time you listen to this, that's all going to change. So what does that matter? Phil Mickelson, after the first round, 5-under. 1 shot off the lead. Phil Mickelson had his best first round at the Masters since 2010. So there's a little quick update on the Masters after the first round. Again, that's going to change real quick. That's going to change even by the time you listen to this. And then, of course, I haven't talked about the national championship in college basketball, but is anybody really talking about that anymore? The last time I talked to you on Monday, we were entering that game, but since I talked to you on Monday, Virginia, congrats to the Virginia Cavaliers, the number one seed, defeating Texas Tech in overtime to win the national championship. And I think the story there is, to keep this brief, the story there is that Virginia, just a year ago, was a one seed, and they were the first one seed to lose to a 16 seed in the first round. And I think it's a pretty cool story a year later to then be one seed again and win the national championship. So congrats to Virginia. But I mean, look, this is not a college sports town. This is a pro sports town, and especially when the playoffs have begun. And that's why I'm going to begin with the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Bruins specifically. Now, if you listen to Monday's show, you know who I picked to win the Stanley Cup. I picked the Washington Capitals to repeat, and Washington actually won their game one of their first-round playoff series. I picked the Capitals to repeat, to do it again. I think that you saw last year Ovechkin, the way he loved that Stanley Cup. I don't know, maybe he became obsessed with that. And he even scored a big goal in that game, in game one for Washington, and he looked all jacked up. I don't see any Stanley Cup hangover with Washington. At least I don't see it yet. I don't see it right now. I picked Washington to win the cup. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Bruins win the cup. Obviously, I'll be rooting for the Bruins to win the cup. But they're going to have to get by Toronto first. And they lose to Toronto 4-1. Now, game two will be tomorrow night on Saturday night. But just looking back at game one, you know, I'm watching this game going, the goal that I had a big-time problem with was the third goal. That was the dagger, wasn't it? The dagger was the third goal in which Toronto took a 3-1 lead. Nylander came down the right side, you know, gets the deep cross-ice pass, comes in all alone, puts it 5-hole on Tuukka, hits Tuukka's stick, and actually then goes through 5-hole. You know, there's a lot of stuff that transpired before that, before Nylander even had the breakaway, before he even received the pass. You know, you had the puck was down behind Toronto's net. And the Bruins were trying to battle for it, and they just lost the battle. I mean, I think it was Heinen, right? Heinen lost the battle. Like, you gotta want it a little bit more than that. You do. You gotta show a little bit more grit than that. And I know that he's not that type of guy. But maybe that's the concern. You know, I'm watching that play out, and I'm watching then Johansson is covering at the left point. I think it was Krug going in. And then you had the deep home run pass to Nylander. And Johansson is like in no man's land. Was this his first time covering the point as a forward? Like, you know, Johansson, I know he had the injury, but when he's played, he has not impressed me. If you listen to the show after the trade deadline, you know how I feel about the Bruins at the trade deadline. I think they should have went after Wayne Simmonds, or at least they should have tried to do something better at the forward position, at the wing position for the Krejci line. You know, obviously we know what Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak can do. This team's going to have to rely on that line a whole heck of a lot here during the playoffs. But I think that if the Bruins are not successful in these Stanley Cup playoffs, I think we are going to look back at the trade deadline. You know, we're going to look at a couple things. We're going to look at, one, the trade deadline, and did they do enough? I mean, I told you at the deadline, I don't think they did. I think that, you know, I think they added pieces of depth, but I think they needed to go out and instead get instead of getting two forwards, they should have given up more to get one and one better piece at that position. But look, the other story is going to be Tuukka Rask, right? I mean, Tuukka Rask is the story going in. I wrote my column for the Metro this week, for the Boston Metro newspaper, was Bruins related. And it was Tuukka Rask. And the headline was, now is the time for Tuukka Rask to earn his trump card. And, you know, I take the word trump card, and I sort of steal that phrase from one David Price from the Boston Red Sox. You go back to last October, the Red Sox win the World Series. David Price should have been the World Series MVP. David Price is a guy that has been criticized since day one in this town. And David Price went out, took the team on his back, essentially, and helped this team helped the Red Sox win a World Series. And afterwards, after they won the World Series, they did a press conference. He said, you know, I hold the cards now. You know, I hold all the cards. You know, he's got the trump card. And, you know, he shut a lot of people up. Well, now is the time for Tuukka Rask. He's 31, 32. He's got two more years left on his deal after this season. Now is the time for Tuukka Rask to earn his trump card, to shut everybody up. Because the number one argument with the Bruins, man, I want to say over the last, what? I mean, 6, 7, 8 years? Has been about the goaltender. Has been about Tuukka Rask. He was the starting goaltender when the Bruins went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2013 and lost to the Chicago Blackhawks. All right? But the main criticism of Tuukka Rask is that he can't win the big one. Is that he shits his pants in the big one. And I do believe that the Tuukka Rask criticism is way over the top. Way over the top. Way over the top. I mean, Tuukka became the winningest goaltender in Bruins history this year. The winningest goaltender in Bruins history. Now, I also think a lot of that has to do with longevity. Has to do with longevity. Tuukka Rask is, you know, he's been he's been in the NHL for 10 years. He hasn't been a starter for 10 years. But for the most part, he's been getting a lot of reps for 10 years. And there were 2 years before that where he didn't really... He was called up a couple times, wasn't really playing. We'll call it a 10-year career to this point for Tuukka Rask. The fact that he's the winningest Bruins goaltender, a lot of that has to do with just longevity, right? But you can't deny that that's what he is. I, for the most part, have been a Tuukka Rask supporter. I've wrote about it. I've ranted about it. I've been passionate about it. But mainly because the criticism is so over the top. I feel like the criticism of Tuukka Rask is somewhat manufactured. I feel like it's just, it's just building because people need something to complain about. And when the Bruins aren't winning a cup, you got to blame somebody. And maybe there are some people that when they watch the game, they don't necessarily know who to criticize in certain spots. So the easy target is always the goaltender. Always has been and always will be. And Tuukka Rask, until he wins that ultimate prize, will always be the easy target. So the criticism's over the top. I, for the most part, am a Tuukka Rask supporter. But the last year or two, the Tuukka Rask conversation has just been, like, it's absurd. And what I wrote about this week in the Boston Metro is that the Tuukka Rask conversation has reached an American politics absurdity level. And I think I talked about this a little bit on this show. Was it last week? Or maybe on Monday. But it has. The Tuukka Rask conversation has reached an American politics level of absurdity. I stay out of political talk. Some, you know, people use the phrase stick to sports. Well, I stick to sports and I have no problem with that. I'm the escape from the people who get caught up in the political commentary and the political debates. You know, there's Democrats, there's Republicans, and they're both so extreme these days that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And I think the same could be said about the Tuukka Rask conversation in this town. The absurdity on both ends from the Tuukka Rask critics and the Tuukka Rask supporters has reached a level of absurdity that is similar to American political debate. To the point where I, over the last maybe year and a half or so, have removed myself from the Tuukka Rask conversation. I know where the truth lies. It lies somewhere in the middle. Tuukka Rask should not be criticized as much as he is by a lot of people in this town. But for the people who now are sort of going over the top in support, I don't know that, I don't think it's never Tuukka's fault. There are some people that think everything's Tuukka's fault. There are other people who think Tuukka is never at fault and never should be at fault. It's always someone else's fault. I think the truth with Tuukka Rask lies somewhere in the middle. But these playoffs for these Bruins, this is Tuukka Rask's opportunity to earn his trump card, to do exactly what David Price did for the Red Sox last October, this past October. Don't tell me he doesn't. He has a chance to do that. You play in Toronto again. This is a Toronto team that they're looking at some of their young stars. They added Tavares, and it's like, you know, Toronto's ready. They're prime. They're ready. You saw that in game one. Toronto's ready to roll here. Right? They got a coach behind the bench who knows what he's talking about, knows what he's doing. They're ready. Toronto is ready. The Bruins beat them last year. Will they beat them this year? Well, they got home ice advantage. That's one thing going for them. I told you, I think we can go back. We will, if they don't have a successful run, we'll go back to the trade deadline stuff and wonder what happened there. And then, of course, we'll talk about the goaltender. But the Bruins, if they beat Toronto, I think they're still going to play Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay lost game one to Columbus. I think that was a shocking loss, especially because it looked like Tampa Bay was going to roll in game one. They took a 3-0 lead in the first period. Columbus comes back and wins 4-3, right? I mean, I still think Tampa Bay is going to win that series. I do. Even if they lose game two, by the time you listen to this, I think Tampa Bay is still going to win that series. Tampa Bay is too good. President's Trophy winner. What'd they have? 128 points, 62 wins or something? Tampa Bay is too good. Too good. They will turn it on. They could go down 2-0 and win four straight. They could. That's how good they are. Tampa Bay is going to win that series. So if you're the Bruins, with the set brackets, if you beat Toronto, I think you know you're going to play Tampa Bay. And it's the same exact road to the East Finals. You know, if you can win the second round, it would be the same road as they had last year. They played Toronto in the first round last year, beat them. They will have played Tampa Bay in the second round. Now, last year, they lost to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, it's not going to be any easier this year. Tampa Bay's better this year. And it's like, Tampa Bay's been nearly unstoppable all year long. Tuukka Rask has an opportunity to take the team on his back, to beat these two teams, to beat a Toronto team that's primed and ready to roll, to beat a Tampa Bay team that's been nearly unstoppable all year long, to get to the East Finals, and maybe you're playing the defending, reigning Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals. And wouldn't that be one heck of a playoff win to get to the Stanley Cup Final? I mean, the road for the Bruins is going to be tough, but is it ever really easy? It's not. And if you do want to silence the critics, this is a perfect golden opportunity for Tuukka Rask to do it. Well, they're off to a bad start. And so is Tuukka. So is Tuukka. And I happened to jump on Twitter during the game last night to see what people were saying about the Bruins loss. And once again, you had the Tuukka critics coming down hard, and you had the Tuukka supporters blaming other people on the ice. The truth lies somewhere in the middle. But it's that third Toronto goal. Or what was it, 2 minutes left in the second period, minute and a half left, whatever it was late in the second period. It was the dagger. The dagger. Stuff happened on the ice before the goal that can't happen. Heinen needs to grow a pair of balls behind the net. Okay? That's one. Then you got Johansson in no man's land. I don't know. Apparently, he's never covered for a D-man at the point in the offensive zone before. Apparently, that was the first time he's had to do that. Right? I don't know. He's soft, too. He's soft. So, you got two soft players just turning into puddles. Nylander comes in all alone. And it wasn't the first breakaway of the night for Toronto. It wasn't the first breakaway of the second period for Toronto. Nylander didn't really pull a move off, just shot a five-hole. Goes off the stick and in. I'd like to see Tuukka save that. I'd like to see him save it. You know, you can't allow the breakaway. Well, you know what? Breakaways happen. That's not the first breakaway. It's not the second breakaway in the history of the league. It's not the third, the fourth, and the fifth. Breakaways happen every single game. And there's a reason why the goaltender is on the ice with all this big equipment. Okay? He's protecting the net under a strange circumstance in which there might be a breakaway. It's not like every breakaway we sit there and go, oh, I can't believe this poor goalie has to deal with this. It's his fucking job. It's his job. And I'm a Tuukka supporter. But Tuukka's job last night, when you got a couple guys who need to grow a pair of balls in big spots in the offensive zone, you know, show that they don't have the balls. When it comes down to, all right, you got your goaltender to save you, you got to make the save. And it hit his stick. Hit his stick. I'm a Tuukka supporter, but I'd like to see him save that. And the Bruins would like to see him save that. Bill your team out. When we talk about silencing the critics, taking the team on your back, well, if you make that save, it's a 2-1 game going into the third period in your own building. And you know what? Like, I trust Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand to make something happen in a one-goal game at home. Like, it's a different game. It's a different feeling in the room. Your goalie bails you out there, makes a big stop. You're feeling good. You're saying, hey, guys, let's go. You know, you're talking in the room. The D-man goes down. Johansson, let's, you know, wake the fuck up. There's puck battles behind the net in the offensive zone. We lose those puck battles. You know, you get the odd man rushes in the other end real quick, especially with this Toronto team. So man up behind the net. You want to go behind the net? Okay? You don't be trying to poke check your way through life down there. You got to put a body on someone. Get physical. Grow some balls. You know, the vibe in the room is just, it can be different if Tuukka makes that stop. That's a save I need him to make. That's a save the Bruins need him to make. It's the type of save he didn't make that makes a lot of people continue to criticize him. And in my opinion, the Bruins lose this game last night because he did not make that save. So I don't think you're crazy if you want to criticize Tuukka Rask today. You're not crazy at all. You're not crazy at all. Got to make that stop. Now, the Bruins took a 1-0 lead. Power play goal, first period. Marchand, beautiful pass to Patrice Bergeron. You expect Bergeron to make that pass to Marchand. The fact that Marchand can make that pass to Bergeron is pretty damn special. Bruins take a 1-0 lead. Toronto tied it at 1 in the first period. Mitch Mana redirected it off the post. Mana had a game for himself. Redirected a shot from the point off the post, and then on the other side, you know, Tuukka didn't know where it was, picks it up and puts it into the empty net. It's a tough read for Tuukka, obviously. Chara just sort of standing there in the way. Chara did not look good last night. And then Mitch Mana, early in the second period, makes it 2-1 Toronto. A shorthanded penalty shot goal. All right? So Mitch Mana gets tripped up by DeBrusk, and you get the penalty shot. You know, I'd like to see a poke check from Tuukka there, too. Maybe don't back up all the way into your own net on that. No, but at this, that one I'm not as upset with because Mitch Mana, that was sort of a filthy move. That was filthy patience from Mitch Mana. Right? As a friend of mine, Brennan Walsh, once said on Nesson, somebody call an ambulance. He's got sick patience. I can't, I don't know how much I can get on Tuukka for that. That was a filthy move. That was sick patience. Now, it's before the initial breakaway that caused the penalty shot. It's like, the Bruins are on the power play. DeBrusk is trying to get cute and put his stick through his legs at the blue line. I know the puck was in an awkward spot for you. You putting your stick through your legs? Like, is that the easiest play? I don't know. That was weird to me. That was a weird, very strange move on DeBrusk's spot. You can't be doing that. I don't want to see sticks going through the legs, trying to be cute, trying to be pretty at your blue line on the power play. Ever. Just in general, don't be doing that. And it ended up in a breakaway, gets tripped up, Mitch Mann, a penalty shot, and then he scores. But the dagger, like I said, was the third goal as the Bruins just got bitched out behind the net. And then Johansson's in no man's land on the first time he has ever covered for a D-man on the blue line. Nylander all alone, and then Tuukka could not bail them out. And that's a problem. If the Bruins are going to win, if they're going to forget about a Stanley Cup, okay? If they're going to beat Toronto, Tuukka's going to have to bail them out at times. That's just the role of a goalie in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if he's not going to do that, the criticism is going to continue. And some of the criticism will be over the top, and we'll get back to the truth being somewhere in the middle. But as a Tuukka Rask supporter, even I'm looking at this going, the time is now, big dog. Like, this is, you don't have much time left to silence the critics. Do it now. The road's going to be tough, but even better for you if you can win on this tough road, then nobody can ever say anything about you again. But you got to bail them out in spots like that. And if you can't do it, then you're never going to silence the critics. And at some point, even someone like myself who's a supporter of Tuukka Rask, I can't really help you out if you can't make those big saves and bail your team out. I can't. Not even I can help you out there. Okay? So, Bruins, Game 2, versus the Maple Leafs at the TD Garden, tomorrow night, Saturday night. Whatever happens, I will react on Monday. They'll play again on Monday night in Toronto. So, I'm not saying the series is over. I think Tuukka needs to make that save. And it's a different game. I know they'd still be losing. You got the empty netter that made it 4-1. But put the empty netter aside. If there's a big difference in a 3-1 game going into the second intermission and a 2-1 game going into the second intermission. Big difference, especially the way that goal went down. Especially the way that goal went down. Late in the period. Those goals will kill you. They will kill you. And it killed the Bruins last night on Thursday night in Game 1. And again, whatever happens the rest of the series, I will react accordingly. But the Bruins are not the only team in the playoffs. They will not be the only team in the playoffs playing playoff games this weekend. The Celtics will also begin the playoffs on Sunday. Now, the last time I talked to you, we knew it's going to be Celtics Pacers, and we knew the Celtics were the 4 seed, and we knew the NBA playoffs began on Saturday. We just didn't know the Celtics playoff schedule. Game 1 at the TD Garden, Celtics-Indiana Pacers will be Sunday at 1 o'clock. I hate 1 o'clock starts in the playoffs. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I think I don't, and I know they want to do it for TV purposes, but man, I just, you get to the playoffs, you'd like to think you've earned the right to not have to play in a 1 o'clock game. It's stupid, but you got to play. And they don't have to play just one. They have to play multiple. Because Game 4 in Indiana is next Sunday, a week from Sunday, April 21st at 1 o'clock. So, I just hate it. I hate the 1 o'clock starts. But the Celtics, Indiana, Game 1, Sunday at 1 o'clock. Game 2 will be Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the TD Garden. Game 3 in Indiana, Friday, next Friday, April 19th at 8:30. And then Game 4 next Sunday in Indiana at 1 o'clock. And then Game 5, if necessary, Wednesday, April 24th. Game 6, if necessary, in Indiana, April 26th, 2 weeks from today. And then Game 7, if necessary, back at the TD Garden, Sunday, April 28th, 2 weeks from this Sunday. So the Celtics and the Pacers, the big news here is that we had a Woj bomb this week. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, reported that Marcus Smart suffered a torn oblique on his left side, and he could be out for the first 2 rounds of the playoffs. This is tough news for a Celtics team that has seemed soft this year. They're soft. Now, Marcus Smart's not soft. And Marcus Smart is the heart and soul of his team, arguably. I've told you the last couple of years, I think Marcus Smart is such an impact player on this team that I told you he's untouchable in a trade. You're not moving Marcus Smart. And you saw at the beginning of the season, when they inserted Marcus Smart into the starting lineup, how things changed. Now, the Celtics did not have the year they wanted to have. They did not have the year everybody thought they would have. You had a lot of bullshit going on. Even Kyrie Irving described it as such the other day when the media asked him, how would you describe this season? He said, it's a lot of bullshit. Now, Kyrie Irving was the creator of a lot of this bullshit, so I think it's somewhat humorous that he's the one that's coming up with this description. But there was a lot of bullshit. He's right. He's not lying. He's right. But Kyrie created a lot of it. You had the young kids, you know, upset with their roles, or maybe somewhat diminished roles at times because of the return of Kyrie Irving and then Gordon Hayward. And Gordon Hayward's presence and his minutes, you know, combined, I think, with his previous relationship with Brad Stevens and you know, all the talk about potential free agency for certain guys this offseason like Kyrie, I just think there was a lot of bullshit. And it affected them. There's no question it affected them. But now you're in the playoffs. And you'd like to believe, at least here in Boston, we'd like to believe Kyrie Irving when he says, this is what it's all about. You know this is what it's all about, and we will come through. Well, I think they have a much better chance to come through if Marcus Smart is part of this team and able to play. It's the playoffs. You want to get tough. You want to get gritty. You want to play some defense. Who else would you rather have out there doing that stuff than Marcus Smart? And he's going to be out now for the first two rounds? Well, you got to get past Indiana first. I do think even without Marcus Smart, the Celtics will get past Indiana. I do. I think they'll get past Indiana. The question will become, if they get past Indiana, can they get past Milwaukee? Milwaukee's playing Detroit. And I think we all believe Milwaukee's going to beat Detroit, right? Why wouldn't Milwaukee beat Detroit? The 1 versus the 8. Milwaukee the 1, Detroit the 8. And the way the bracket's set up, if the Celtics beat Indiana, they'll play Milwaukee. Can they get by Milwaukee without Marcus Smart? Now, I'd like to believe that Kyrie Irving, because I'd be contradicting myself if I said the Celtics don't have a shot just because Marcus Smart is out. Because the way I feel about the NBA is that this is a superstar league, and superstars will win out, and Kyrie Irving is a superstar, and Kyrie Irving is playing. So I think I'd sound like a fool if I said the Celtics don't have a shot to beat Milwaukee just because Marcus Smart is out. Right? And that's not a knock on Marcus Smart. That's more praise to Kyrie Irving, and it's more of an acknowledgement as to what the NBA is and what makes you successful. Superstar talent. Just ask the Golden State Warriors. Right? So Kyrie, if he's playing, Celtics got a shot. Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I think is going to happen. I don't think Marcus Smart's going to miss two full rounds. I think that he will return. I think he missed the first round, and I think he will return in the second round against Milwaukee. I think that's how this is going to play out, and I think that's going to be a spark, and I think it's going to be the spark the Celtics need, and I'm picking the Celtics to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I am. So let's roll right into the predictions. But then you have the 3-seed 76ers against the 6-seed Brooklyn Nets. And I'm taking Philly in that. I don't know anyone who would take Brooklyn. I'm taking Philly. And the winner of that series, which I think is going to be Philly, will play the winner of the 2-seed Raptors and the 7-seed Magic. Is anyone taking Orlando? I don't think so. So I'm expecting the 3-seed 76ers to take on the 2-seed Raptors in the second round. And I'm actually going to take Philly here. I'm taking Philly over Toronto. I'm taking Philly over Toronto. I think Philly's deep. I think Philly's a deep team that is going to make a playoff run here. Then you have Philly Celtics. And this is going to be a controversial pick here in this town, but I'm taking Philly to get to the NBA Finals. I hope I'm wrong, obviously, but I'm taking Philly. I know the 76ers are not good against the Celtics, or the Celtics step up against Philly, whatever that may be. I think that Philly, I think they're going to overcome whatever demons they have against the Celtics. I think Philly's going to the finals. Who are they going to play? Well, let's go through the West. I have Golden State, the 1-seed, beating the 8-seed Clippers. That's obvious. And then I have the 4-seed Rockets beating the 5-seed Utah Jazz, which sets us up for a wild second-round series between Golden State and Houston. I'm going to take Golden State, obviously, to get to the Western Conference Finals, beating Houston. A team that maybe lucked out a little bit here is Oklahoma City as the 6-seed. They do not have to play both Houston and Golden State. And you look at the bottom half of this West bracket, the 3-seed Trailblazers will take on the 6-seed Thunder. I'm taking Oklahoma City to win that series. And I'm taking them to play Denver. Denver, the 2-seed against the 7-seed Spurs. I got OKC over Denver in that series. So I'm taking OKC to go to the Western Conference Finals to play Golden State, where I will pick Golden State to win that series, and I will pick Golden State versus Philly in the NBA Finals, to which I also kind of teased on Monday's show that there's no way I can bet against Golden State, and I won't. Even if I'm wrong with the Philly pick, even if Golden State plays the Celtics, even if Golden State plays Milwaukee, even if Golden State plays Toronto, Golden State's winning the NBA championship, so it is official. It is now an official pick from me, Golden State, the NBA champions once again, and they will do it by beating the 76ers. Though I do think when you look in the Eastern Conference. You know, you can make the argument that the Celtics would give the Warriors the toughest matchup. It's just, they're going to have to get there. You know, for me to put the Celtics in the NBA Finals, I think would be me to just completely forget everything that's transpired this season. And I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, I can't put them in the finals. I can't do it. I hope they're there, and I'll be rooting for them just like everybody else in this town. But I can't put them in. I can't put the Celtics in the finals. I got them in the East Finals, and that's as far as I think they go. But I think regardless, even if they are in the finals, I think Golden State will win it. Golden State will win it all. And if Golden State doesn't win it all, I will be shocked. Speaking of shocked, I was shocked to see the news that Magic Johnson is stepping down as Lakers president of basketball operations. Such a strange situation. Have we heard from LeBron yet, by the way? I haven't. If he spoke last night, I wasn't paying attention because I was watching the Bruins and then the Red Sox. And then this morning, I get into the studio early and record this. So as I'm recording this, I have not heard anything from LeBron on the Magic Johnson front, which is kind of strange because LeBron James is somebody who at least he could tweet out or Instagram like something, some secret cryptic message, right? LeBron's a real cryptic social media user. Sends out the cryptic pictures, sends out the cryptic tweets, you know? Just real vague stuff where you're like, huh, who is he talking about? And what is he talking about? I haven't even seen that yet. But LeBron James, who's such a... You know, I'm not saying he runs the Lakers organization, but somebody who has a major influence in the moves that they're making. There's no question about it. We've seen him have a major influence everywhere he's been. Cleveland, Miami, you know, even to an extent with the Lakers. We've heard rumors all season long that LeBron doesn't want Luke Walton to be their coach. And maybe the Luke Walton stuff is where this thing got tricky for Magic Johnson combined with LeBron. So I haven't heard from LeBron. By the time you listen to this, maybe you do. Magic Johnson steps down. He holds an impromptu little media session in which he calls the media over and he says, hey guys, just want to let you know, I have not even talked to Jeannie Buss about this. I haven't told anyone in the organization. I'm just telling you right now, this is the first time anybody's finding out. This is the first time the Lakers are finding out, the first time the fans are finding out, the first time the NBA world's finding out. I am stepping down from my position as president of basketball operations of the Lakers. I'm stepping down. And he goes into, like, social media and tweets and how he can't even tweet congratulations to a player because that'll be tampering. So, the fact that he mentioned that, it gets you thinking, like, did Magic Johnson just come up with a new way to tamper by stepping down from his position? Magic Johnson's always going to be a Laker. He's always welcomed in the building. Come on. And if Magic Johnson ever wants that position back again, he can get it. It's not like they're running out hiring a new president of basketball operations today. That position is still Magic Johnson's if he wants it, but he steps down. And maybe him not being in that official position, him not being an employee of the Lakers, it allows him to then go tamper. In which case, it wouldn't even be tampering. He can go have a cup of coffee with Anthony Davis. He can go to Anthony Davis's house now. Unless there's a rule. Is there a rule in the NBA that states when you step down from a position like that, there's X amount of time on the calendar that you need, like there's a, you know, a 6-month period you still cannot talk to other players? Is that a rule? And you know what? Why do I even care? Who cares? And that's why I even roll my eyes at this conversation, because it's like, Magic Johnson, there's a way to tamper, okay? These guys know all the ins and outs of tampering. They can do it. They're going to do it. Even if they get punished, they're going to keep doing it. No one's going to stop anybody in any sport from tampering. I've seen it in multiple sports. I know it happens. You should know it happens too. We all should just accept it. Yeah, if the leagues find out about it, they need to come down with some type of punishment. That's just because they're breaking a rule. They have to. But tampering happens. We should not act surprised or shocked when we hear that it does. So is this about wanting to go talk to players and help the Lakers out? If you're Magic Johnson, maybe not. I thought it was weird that he mentioned the tweets and stuff. But I think something happened. You know, for him to go about it this way, because if you told me last week that Magic Johnson was going to step down and it was going to be breaking news and a shocking story, if you had told me that, I would have told you that, you know, he talks to Jeannie Buss, that they have a press conference, they announce a press conference, and they're all sitting down next to each other, and Magic Johnson explains, you know, sort of like some type of retirement press conference or like a new signing. You know, they roll out the red carpet. Magic Johnson, he doesn't want to do it anymore, but thanks for trying. You know, one of these things. I would have told you that's the way they would do it. I wouldn't tell you that Magic Johnson would just grab media members and get him to come over and say, hey, guys, I'm done. I haven't even talked to Jeannie Buss yet, but I'm done. You know, they're making it sound like there's no hot feelings. Everybody loves each other. Nothing happened. It's as simple as Magic Johnson wanting to go live his life. No fucking way. No way. No way. Because if it was like that, the press conference would have went down the way I told you. Something happened. The question now is what? What happened? What went down? And we haven't heard from LeBron, at least I haven't as we're recording this, but what we did hear about LeBron is that last weekend, LeBron and his agent had a private, closed-doors meeting with the GM of the team. What was that meeting about? And was that meeting, like, did Magic know about that meeting? Because I'm not hearing Magic Johnson was in that meeting. That's not the report. Did Magic hear about that meeting and go, whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on here? How are you guys all having a meeting and I'm not involved? You know what? I can't do this anymore. Because I don't like this. I don't like, you know, this is just, no, I need to be involved in that. Is that how this went down? Because another interesting story that leaked is that this is all happening. Like, it's all coming out at once. A story that leaked was that Magic Johnson was really non-existent. Like, yeah, he was the Lakers president of basketball operations, but he really wasn't doing anything. He wasn't present in all the meetings. He wasn't making all the decisions. You know, he wasn't as hands-on as maybe people would have liked. Well, why did that story get out there? And who leaked that? You know, that story getting leaked has LeBron written all over it. Like, LeBron told someone, like, man, yeah, Magic's mad that we... Like, this is how I envision this playing out, okay? Hear me out. This is how I envision this playing out. Magic's pissed off about something, the way something happened. It's not that him and Jeannie Buss are on bad terms. They love each other. We heard what they had to say about each other. Magic's pissed at someone else. In my opinion, Magic might have been pissed at this meeting with the GM, LeBron, and LeBron's agent. Magic maybe is pissed that they're trying to get rid of Luke Walton. Maybe Magic doesn't want to get rid of Luke Walton. And maybe Magic's just like, you guys are then going to have a meeting behind my back? And when Magic steps down, maybe LeBron knows that this meeting's going to get out. And he leaks out like, oh, yeah, well, we had this meeting because Magic is never around. Magic is just, he's non-existent. So we have to do something without him. And in my opinion, that's kind of what this feels like. I don't know for sure. I don't know if these are facts. I'm just reacting to things that have leaked out since Magic Johnson has randomly stepped down in a strange-as-fuck way to do an impromptu press conference. It's very strange. But he's gone? I don't think it has to do with going to find a way to Tampa and then him coming back and taking the job again. After he did the tampering. I think something happened. And maybe he just doesn't want to deal with the LeBron bullshit anymore. I'm not saying LeBron stormed in the room to Magic and said, Magic, you better get rid of Luke Walton, or Magic, you better go sign this player or trade for that player. I don't think LeBron did that. I don't think LeBron did that. But if LeBron's trying to get sneaky with his agent and the GM, you know, maybe there wasn't this blow-up, but maybe Magic Johnson heard about something like that and he keeps hearing these whispers and he's like, man, you know what? I don't have enough energy to deal with this shit, okay? I don't. So I'm out. I'm still a Laker. I can always come back. You know I always got those Genie Bus front row seats, courtside seats. I got them whenever I want. I can sit on the bench game one of next season if I want. I can wear my uniform if I want. But I don't need this. I don't need people going behind my back. I don't need to be have all these rumors surrounding us, and then I'm on top of it, like I'm getting in trouble for talking to other players. Like, I don't even want to do this. I just want to enjoy basketball, and I want the Lakers to win, sure, but there's a lot of bullshit that's seemingly coming along with this, and I'm done. I'm going to wash my hands with it. And someday, maybe I can come back. But you know what? I'm out. I think that's what happened. But we're going to see what the next move is for the Lakers. I mean, if the next move is Luke Walton fired, and maybe that's already happened by the time you listen to this, then maybe we know. But what's wrong with Luke Walton? He did a fine job with Golden State when Steve Kerr was out, didn't he? And I know you could say, well, that's because of the players. You know, they got a superstar team. But, I mean, it's just, there's a lot going on with that Lakers organization. You add the Ball family into it. I think Magic Johnson was just like, I can't do this anymore, guys. I don't care that much. I got enough money. I can go do something else to get some money. Me and Shaq will film commercials for whatever. You name it, we'll do the commercials. That's how I can make money. I'm good with money, guys. I don't need this stress and this bullshit. I don't. I don't need LeVar Ball texting me. Talking to me about his other two sons. Like, I don't care. I don't give a flying fuck about his other sons. Okay? I don't care about him. I don't need to do this anymore. And I think that's what happened with Magic Johnson. He got fed up. And maybe there was some meeting. If this meeting's true, LeBron, his agent, and someone from the front office, and Magic wasn't involved. Maybe he heard about that and was like, all right, yeah, you're going to do shit behind my back? Here we go. I'm out. How about this? I'm out. You don't have to do it behind my back anymore because I'm not going to be here for it. And he had that too. He's like, they asked him, he's like, I ain't going to be here next year. So he had enough for whatever reason. That's my theory, though. That's my theory. Anything that happens in the NBA playoffs, I'll react to it on this show. And then outside of that, like I said, we get the Major League Baseball regular season. The Red Sox on Tuesday lost their home opener. They got their World Series championship rings. And you would have thought that, combined with Chris Sale being on the mound, would be a nice recipe for success in the home opener. It was not. Chris Sale, even though he was throwing 94 miles an hour and the velocity was there, he did not have a good day. He allowed 5 runs in 4 innings in a 7-5 loss on Tuesday to Toronto. Chris Sale is now 0-3 with an ERA of 9. ERA of 9. 4 home runs allowed in 13 innings for Chris Sale. That is not good. But the question has been asked, when is it time to really be concerned? When is it time to really panic about this Red Sox team? And, you know, if I recorded this show yesterday on Thursday, I would have told you we're getting close to hitting the panic button. But Red Sox got a big win on Thursday night. They got a big win on Thursday night. And Mitch Moreland, who had one heck of an at-bat. So far, the at-bat of the year for Mitch Moreland. High fastball after high fastball. He laid off. He didn't lay off. He fouled off, and then he fouled off at 97-98. That was up near his eyes, up near his chin. And then he gets another one, and, you know, he puts it in the air, drives in the tie and run. And then you got Rafael Devers with a single. The infield was playing in. He got a high bounce that went over the infielder's head, went over the second baseman's head. Red Sox with a walk-off win. You know, the starting pitching is still letting up runs. Pitching's still letting up runs, which is concerning, but it's good to get that win. It's good to get that win. They're 4th win of the season. They're now 4-9, and now Baltimore comes to town for a 4-game series. in which it'll conclude with that series will conclude with the marathon game on Monday at 11 o'clock. I don't assume they're going to throw Chris Sale in that game. If they're going to go with Sale the way they've been going, which is 5 days rest, maybe they give him, did they give him six and they have Sale go in the Bronx? Or do they have Sale go on Sunday on normal rest? I would throw Sale Sunday afternoon on normal rest. I'm not throwing him at 11 a.m. on Monday. And I don't know that I'm just going to throw him into the Bronx. But you know what? If you wanted to save him and have him go in the Bronx, go ahead. I mean, that's what he's getting paid for. So maybe I'm wrong on that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that. Pitch in the Bronx next week. Save him. Maybe do that. I mean, that's what he's getting paid for. Why should he be scared, I guess? I mean, but you just, it's a long season, and you're trying to figure this thing out. You're trying to get him to figure it out. This is probably the toughest start he's ever had. I think he even said it. Will the Bronx be a good place to figure it out? Huh. I mean, I say, eh, probably not. But at the same time, that's what he's getting paid for. He just signed a big deal. Chris Sale's not, you know, Chris Sale's not getting paid. You know, on one hand, I could understand if you wanted to pitch him Sunday. I just explained that to you. It's a long season. On the other hand, you didn't just give Chris Sale a $145 million extension to avoid the Yankees. So, I could see both sides of it. The more I think about it, I say pitch him in the Bronx, because that's what you're getting paid for. You're not paying him to avoid that game. But, you know, normal rest would be Sunday. An extra day's rest would be Monday, but you're not throwing Chris Sale Monday at 11. You're not pitching him Monday morning at 11 a.m. when he's trying to figure things out. You got your ace trying to figure things out. He's not going Monday at 11. So, we'll see what they do with the rotation. But a big win on Thursday night for the Red Sox, a walk-off win. We'll see if they can carry that over. But, you know, momentum in baseball is only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. And really, that's where the Red Sox have struggled the most, is their starting pitching. So they have to figure that out. They have to figure that out. And it's early. I think they have the talent to figure it out. Can they do it soon to the point where they don't fall behind too much, where the deficit and the hole doesn't get too big? That's what they need to prevent. Because it is a long season, sure. But if that hole gets too big, if you dig yourself into that hole too deep, you know, that's going to be tough to come out of. It is. So you got to turn it around soon. The starting pitching needs to turn it around soon. I'll keep an eye on it, and I'll react whatever happens. And then finally, the NFL. I told you the Patriots made some moves. They re-signed the kicker Steven Goskowski. They also signed 26-year-old tight end Austin Seferian Jenkins to a one-year deal. He played with the Jaguars last year, but I think you remember him mostly with the Jets in 2017. Had 50 catches in 13 games with the Jets in 2017. So it's a good pickup for the Patriots. Patriots also, keep an eye on this, they hosted Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, for a visit earlier this week. I've talked about Demaryius Thomas multiple times on the show with regards to potential Patriots signings. He's a free agent. He's 31 years old, but he's coming off a major Achilles injury, and it's not his first one. And I believe his first one, he missed about 6 months. So you wonder what the timetable is with him. He's also getting older. He also had some, I think he was in trouble with the law this offseason. Was it, right? I don't have the facts on that, so I'm not going to sit here and assume, but he was in the news being in trouble with the law. If we're just going to talk about Demaryius Thomas, the football player, for a moment, this would be a low-risk, high-reward situation. We know the Patriots have been interested in Demaryius Thomas in the past. Demaryius Thomas, when he's been healthy, is a physical freak. He's got some catch issues. He does. He's got these. He gets the case of the drops. But, you know, if you're a fantasy football player, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, Demaryius Thomas was a big-time player for you. And I'm not trying to make this fantasy football, especially not with the Patriots, but, you know, if you're talking about the Patriots making value signings, which is what they do, Demaryius Thomas coming off an Achilles injury would be someone that they could get on the cheap, someone they've been interested in the past. Last year at the trade deadline, they were linked to trying to trade for Demaryius Thomas. And the Patriots need some offensive help with their weapons for Tom Brady. I think this would be a perfect signing for the Patriots. And why not? I mean, you bring him in. You can bring him in like you brought in Eric Decker last year. If it doesn't work out, you cut him. It's a low-risk, high-reward. And that's what I think they should do. But keep an eye out for it because he was at Gillette or in Foxborough this week. And then we get the NFL draft on April 25th, which is 2 weeks away. The Patriots, what type of moves will they make? Will they make their picks? Will they trade back like they usually do to get multiple picks in later rounds? Will they make a move for Josh Rosen? We'll see what Arizona does. Does Arizona take Kyler Murray number one overall and move Rosen? We'll see. We'll follow the NFL as we do get closer to the draft. But for right now, you know, I'm all in on the playoffs, playoff hockey, playoff basketball. And I'll try to stay, like I said, as timely as possible on this show with those playoff games, which, I mean, we're going to get, you know, the Bruins one night, Celtics the next, Bruins the next, Celtics the next. I mean, that's the way this thing's going to be. So it is nonstop here moving forward. But it's the greatest time of year in sports. And I will also be watching the Masters on Sunday, and I'll react to whatever happens Sunday at Augusta National. Don't forget, go to DraftKings.com and use promo code PICK and pick six golfers before Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time for the Masters final round in the single round showdown at DraftKings.com and play for free with the first deposit when you sign up using promo code PICK, P-I-C. Have a great weekend, everybody. I will be back on Monday. There's a lot going on. It's Marathon Monday, but I will be here for you. Talk to you then.